Chapter 7. Daryl had to pull over this rust bucket of a car. What else can you do when your own dick is talking to you? Once his traumatized member was set free from his pants and let out of its splint, he heard a sigh of relief. Can a dick actually sigh? Is it a meaningless question once you hear it say the words, "New York!" out loud? That's right. His cock just enunciated the words, "New York." Good God, has Daryl lost his mind? No, he can see the opening in the head of his penis, and it says the name of the city again, plain as day. Some sort of infection must have spread through his reproductive organ, giving his penis supernatural powers. Is that really so bad? Was his dick like Kreskin? Could it actually see the future? Jesus, he could go on fucking America's Got Talent and actually win. New York, it says for the third time. New York what? Was that where Marcia was going? Is his dick now like a payday pubic GPS? Daryl may have toxic cock syndrome, but maybe that's a blessing in disguise. He's got a new friend down there. He'll call him Richard. Yes, Richard. There's only one place left for that witch to go. Her mother, snarls Poppy through clenched teeth as she speeds by the Maryland House service area on her way north on I-95. She's too young to remember the details, but Marcia has told her countless times about her father, who supposedly abandoned both of them after being caught there in some sort of parking lot sex orgy by the police and then ran off to Provincetown. Marcia lied so much, Poppy never believed it was true, but even if it were, she'd still like to see her father again. He'd accept her bouncing fanaticism, and she, in turn, would try to understand his sexual experimenting. Tit for tat, that would be that. "New York City, here we come," sings out Twisted Billy, as he successfully backbends and grabs his ankles from behind without losing his balance. "Your grandmother will help us this time," wails Volta, as she bounces both up and down and sideways from the hydraulic lifts. "Adora wants her gone, too," adds Campolina, naming Marcia's mother out loud between attempts at applying her own mascara midair. "We'll land on your mother's head," seethes Lipa, on her way down with a thud. "Crush her to death," screams Poppy in upward recovered rage. "Nobody steals from Bouncy Bouncy," adds Springboard Sam in an aggressive, low-chested yodel as he hops from mini-tramp to mini-tramp with perfect musical timing. Marcia Sprinkle Must Die hollers Double Back Barbara in a rousing, jumping falsetto finale of echoed conspiracy. Poppy sees the sign for the first toll booth and springs into non-action. "Land," she orders her followers, who begin reducing their motion obediently. "Descend," whispers Volta as she decreases her natural-born vaultiness. "Freeze," adds Leaper, proud to be so programmed. As Poppy pulls into the toll booth, the bouncy bouncers are all suddenly still, fixed, unmoving, inert, and yes, miserable. When the toll taker looks inside their vehicle, all appears normal. Poppy accelerates away, and so do her followers. Slowly, yet fiercely, filled with adrenaline to spring again, they come alive, bouncing and vaulting and leaping their way in place toward the Delaware Memorial Bridge. Springboard Sam and Double Back Barbara aren't low-riding anywhere. They're joy-jumping and proud to be doing so. Just for the hell of it, Poppy goes full throttle on the hydraulic lift system and makes the whole van hop an astounding 5 feet in the air. Revenge will be even better now that they're bouncy bouncing across state lines. Marcia stands there waiting for the bus. There are only a few other travelers, and they all seem to be complaining about the service. "It's an hour late already," gripes a huge white lady of undetermined age to Marcia, even though she has not once looked in her direction. This woman is holding a very pasty baby in her arms, who looks dead, but whom Marcia presumes is sleeping. Her husband is just standing there, but manages to be just as repellent, although he comes in a much smaller size. Another couple already left, he offers up, as if anyone but these people would care. Got sick of waiting, explains the big one. The man had to go piss in the bushes, her mate continues to Marcia, who still doesn't answer but is relieved not to be recognized. These people have never watched the news. There's nothing current about the events in their lives, and there never will be. There are no services here, complains a native Hawaiian woman who obviously just had her hair done. Jesus Christ, she's got some scrawny cat in her purse she's going to try and sneak on board. Before Marcia can point out the no pets policy she hopes the bargain budget bus company adheres to, another waiting rider with acne who's dressed in some sort of work clothes with the name Brud stitched on the front pocket asks the large one's husband, "Hey, how come you got your shirt on backwards?" "He just likes it that way," explains the wife, as if she's used to sticking up for her husband's fashion sense. "That's why we call him Shirt Backwards." "I like the feel," he answers, as if all the bus riders were fascinated by his sartorial choices. "The pulling back of the material on my neck." "Makes him stand up straight," adds the corpulent wife before introducing herself as Big Marge. Christ, they're a comedy team, Marcia marvels to herself before the baby wakes up and starts whimpering. "Oh, now, blanket," its mother coos. "It's all okay. We're going to go to New York and ride on the subway." "Blanket is its name," Marcia suddenly blurts out, unable to control her astonishment at such embarrassing parenting. "Yes, just like Michael Jackson's baby," the mother with glandular problems responds, unashamed. "Michael didn't do a damn thing," pipes in the Hawaiian lady. "He's a child himself. We sing Beat It to him every na-na before he goes to sleepy sleepy, don't we, blanky blanky, shirt backwards ass and baby talk." Blanket gurgles back happily, and Marcia turns her back on the whole scene, hoping it will magically disappear. But oh no, here comes another carload of bargain-budget wannabe riders. An elderly white-haired Italian-American couple are dragged out of their car, driven by what must be their daughter. They don't look too happy about their upcoming journey. "We don't want to go," pleads the old man in a heavy accent as his wife shakes her head negatively in agreement. "Nonsense," barks their offspring. "You're going to have a great time in Manhattan. I bought you theater tickets for Wicked." "We don't want to see Wicked," blurts out the old lady in Italian. "We want to stay home," begs the father in English. "No," admonishes the daughter, suddenly angry. "I got you these tickets and you're going. Do you know how much these tickets cost? You know how many other old people would kill to see Wicked?" "We wouldn't," they both yell back in unison. "Help us," begs the older gentleman to all the awaiting bus riders. "We hate New York," sobs his wife in despair. "Please, take us home." But suddenly nobody is listening because here comes the bus, finally. It looks filthy and is traveling at much too fast a speed for the secondary road, but at least it's here. "You get on that bus," the daughter threatens, "or I'll put you both in a home." Poppy and her jumpers had to stop at some point. Their digestive systems are in top form from their trampoline lifestyle, but still, nature calls. They need money, too. The James Fenimore Cooper service area seems heterogeneous enough to try a little bouncing panhandling. What else could they do? Poppy remembers the Hare Krishnas who used to plague airports everywhere. Somebody must have given them money or they couldn't have been there, right? Why not Poppy's gang? The bouncy, bouncy fanatics split up. Volta seems like the best candidate for charity due to her supposed disability. She stands near the entrance with a sign she had earlier drawn on a piece of cardboard, reading bouncing and broke in shaky letters. You try writing with one arm and rebounding in a moving vehicle and see how neat your penmanship is. Volta has done her best, and this sign will have to do. What's a bouncer? Poppy hears a man ask his wife. Others look away. Only one nice Asian lady stops and puts a dollar in Volta's donation bucket, which is really just a big gulp cup she picked out of the trash can. Poppy starts hopping nearby, trying to show team spirit. But when another white lady with frizzy hair reaches for her wallet, her grubby daughter pulls her away and hisses, "Are you crazy?" Lipa, the big-boned one, figures she better position herself at a different door to target the overweight families who might be rushing in from the gas station for their last-minute to-go snacks. She places a dainty little tarp she uses as a traveling launching pad, decorated with cute spring-up cartoon figures she has drawn herself, right on the ground and starts chanting. Hoppers are hungry, too. But it's hard for the travelers, no matter what their weight, to feel too much sympathy for a gal this size's hunger, especially when she's bouncing in place like some kind of lunatic. Get a job, lard bucket, some evil man with a Dover, Delaware t-shirt yells smugly, before entering the service area with his contempt before investigation parents, who wouldn't know how to bounce properly if someone gave them lessons. The rest of the gang splits up to use the facilities, bouncing at the lowest level possible to not attract attention. Springboard Sam would have chosen a stall in the men's room for more private up-and-down urination, but Twisted Billy takes the last one available, and already all the pissers are reacting negatively to the sight of Billy's head popping up and down over the top of the stall, especially with his neck twisted in such an unnatural way. When you gotta go, you gotta go. Springboard Sam also begins hopping in place at the urinal, and no matter how subtle his movements, others react badly. Yes, there is a privacy shield between urinals, but the next-door pisser would still see you were bouncing, and let's be frank, aim was always an issue. You got a problem, snarls a trucker type as he glares at Sam. No, all good, he answers as he hops in place rhythmically, his balance stimulated by his consistently vertical way of life. When Campolina enters the ladies' room, hopping in the most feminine way she can pull off, she still doesn't really pass as a woman, and all that drag queen leaping scares fellow female travelers, even if they are fans of RuPaul's TV show. The honest truth that you can sit down and piss in a toilet while hopping in place is something Campolina wants to show the world by leaving the stall door open, but she realizes from the dirty look she is getting that this is a concept most women, even liberal ones, are not ready to accept. Doubleback Barbara is in such great urinary shape due to trampolining that she is on, up, down, and off the pot before the static pissers even noticed. Her kangaroo-like exit does, however, leave a few of the turnpike women fresh and upper speechless, and when one little girl urinator even blurts out, "Why is that lady jumping?" her mom shushes her up with, "She's just excited," because she can't think of any other reason to explain the bouncing to a child of her age. Twisted Billy should have kept his talents to himself. As he exits the pit stop, a few uninitiated angry men follow him, shouting something about the movie Matilda. But no, Billy believes his contortion skills have gone beyond the beauty of dance into pure performance art. Feeling the muse, he suddenly twists his body and bends his limbs into a grotesque shape before crouching down, flipping his whole torso over, and crawling like a spider toward Poppy and Volta at the concession stand. Many patrons start shouting while others flee, but a small percentage are delighted and break into applause. Children especially love Billy and start twisting their own bodies into freakishly double-jointed poses. Poppy, seeing that Billy is the one who will bring in the cash, tells Volta to join her in line with the other bouncing followers for food at Burger King. Campolina grabs an empty BLT salad container off a table and starts passing the hat while she, too, launches herself upward. Lipa rushes in from the parking lot and is amazed to see members of the non-jumping public actually throwing in dollar bills. A few of the more adventuresome fast food customers start jumping in place, along with the newly arrived Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara. Twisted Billy, still in spider mode, starts walking with both his hands and feet upside down and right side up. Children squeal in delight while their parents' concerns melt away. A shower of money rains down over Poppy and the jumpers. An irate manager who looks like a veteran of many bad fast food jobs charges over and yells to the crowd, "Stop this bouncing! We have a right to jump in place," challenges back Poppy. "And you," the tin despot growls, ignoring Poppy completely and pointing his finger at Twisted Billy. "There are no street performers allowed on the New Jersey Turnpike. We are paying customers, Campolina sasses back, emptying the donations into her purse between jumps of unashamed pride. Yeah, tramps are people too, and we are hungry, scolds Volta, shaking the end of her residual limb at the man like a militant's fist and hurling herself upward from the carpet stained by a million spilled takeout meals. Stand still, you awful people, the manager orders to all. But by now, some of the defiant regular customers and even a few of the employees behind the counter are jumping in place with wide-eyed new enthusiasm. No employee bouncing, he screeches to the few mutinous servers who continue to leap while filling the food orders of Poppy and her hungry gymnasts, mostly cheesy tots because they are easy to pop in their mouths while springing upward. You people have to leave or I'm calling the cops, the bouncist bully says directly to Poppy, realizing she is the leader of this lunatic fringe group. With many still unresolved lawsuits against her coming up, not to mention her murderous plans, Poppy understands this could get ugly. The police have a history of intolerance toward jumpers and the people who support them. Besides, they must have taken in over $100 just here in this rest area, certainly enough for gas and tolls to New York City. She nods to Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara, who immediately break into a cowboy version of Rubber Ball by Bobby V. Bouncy, bouncy, the newly recruited jumpers in the crowd sing back as Poppy and her small army of dedicated fanatics leap toward the exit door with Twisted Billy bringing up the rear in full itsy-bitsy spider contortionist mode. United, they all yodel out beautifully, ahi dio le hee-hoo, I'll come bouncing back to you. Fully fed, beaming at the crowd's approving cheers, Poppy and her gang are ready to strike. They're on a mission, and one day the general public will remember them.